Because that message was so connected to what we've been talking about, taking steps of faith, you'll notice that people are doing different things. Like you noticed that Sue started, and Emily have both kind of stepped up a little bit into worship, and people are stepping up into doing things. This has always been my heartbeat. Yesterday I had a conversation with someone from our church who had, a very gifted person, had run women's ministries very successfully. Matter of fact, people in my circle knew who she was, two people actually. Both spoke about her in terms of her giftedness and what she had done, shepherding or administration skills, and her quiet spirit. People talked about her gentleness. And she was sharing with me a story when I asked her, well, what went wrong at these places? Because she used to go to church there. She had shared with me that although the pastor had talked about empowering people, the pastor did everything. And a few months ago, we came to a meeting of prayer for that 1615, and I just wrote the John show up on the board, and those that are closest to me know what that means. And that's just that I have a tendency of trying to do, not just trying to do, it's just that through a very difficult time, you end up doing way too much. And so the reason we started the 10-minute message, we took that from Rick Joyner's ministry in Morningstar, is because I want to see people step out into ministry. We've always had teams. I want those of you who have been with us in Full Life long enough to remember that we had teams when we were all along our journey. We had several worship teams. We've had several things that have happened along the way. They're good things, and I want to keep on that path. So stepping out in faith, becoming that spiritual family, Michael had used in his message several times a phrase that I had gotten. I'll talk a little bit about that today, about a community of trust. And that's us. You get that. We're a fellowship of, you know, people that have come together to do something different with our lives. And so I hope that you stay encouraged in that as we move forward. So I don't want to be the kind of person that just talks about it and then does everything. My friend is actually on staff at that church, and he runs their college group. And he told me that in the, well, 6 years he's known about the guy, but he's been actually working there for the last 3 years, that in 3 years he's only had the chance to preach one time. And I think that's a travesty, because I think people don't grow unless they have an opportunity for ministry. So I wanted to just say thank you for being the type of people, the community of trust, that will allow some of that dream of mine to come true by tolerating and hearing and listening and being taught by people who are willing to step up and speak their heart before the Lord. This is really good what's happening for them. And I appreciate the fact that we're able to be a community where that happens. And, you know, people are doing an awesome job with that 10-minute message. I have not heard anything that has not struck me in some way, especially this one today about a spiritual family. You know, Josh, in the years I've been a Christian, which is just over 2 weeks now, but in 20 years, I don't think I've ever heard a spiritual family described like that. I really, for the purpose of being a spiritual family, I really appreciated your insight about it being an empowering community. It was very good. Well, just for the purpose of saying that we did something, could you just turn to, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. As a matter of fact, don't even go to Ephesians chapter 2. Just forget the whole thing and go to, we were in Hebrews chapter 11, so let's not mess it up, and I'll just reread that from verse 33, and then we have a video that I'd like to show you to connect with this, and then we'll be okay. All I want to do in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, is talking about what a people of faith can do. A people of faith can overthrow kingdoms. A people in faith rule justly. They receive what God had promised them. I'd like to take a pause right there and reconnect this to the message I spoke a while back. What will it mean to you for you to get what God has promised you? What will your world look like when God's promise finally comes to bear? What will it be for you when that day happens? I think we always live in this tension of the already and not yet, and yet as people, we don't necessarily proclaim the victories that God has already brought. As an example, I'm still here. That's a promise of God that's fulfilled. Do you hear that on my life? I'm still growing. That's a promise of God that's already been fulfilled in my life. I'm preaching. That is a miracle in itself, but I'm still here with something to say. God's hand is upon me. God's favor is upon me. All of these are realities of life that I want to come into your real world, because I believe in that everyday faith for everyday people. Something good can happen. So what will it look like when you get what God's promised you? Will you shut the mouths of lions? Can you quench the flames of fire as they come? Will you escape death by the edge of the sword? Where is in your life, where has your weakness been turned into strength? Now, I wanted to stop to re-point out that I have been thinking that Christians tend to be perceived as a weak people. And so when you say you're a Christian, it used to be that that was kind of like a badge of courage and it was something good to hear about. But now when people hear that you're a Christian, they think you're just a little weird. They think you smell funny, you know. They hug you kind of distantly. When you say you're a Christian, they go, whoa, they back off just a little bit. Anybody know what I'm talking about a little bit? You know what I'm saying? It just seems a little funny. You say you're a Christian, they automatically think you're going to think certain things and do certain things. And it's just not true, you know, but that's what they think. And so what does it mean then if we're not a weak people? I'd point you that you're probably stronger than you think you are. You probably have, in your weakness, the word says that God's strength is made perfect. And I would point that there are probably areas of your life where strength has come. And you know now that you're walking in a way that you had not before because of the strength of the Lord. So let's point it out just for a minute while we're going. How can we drive it home for a second? As an example, how many people here have had a weird curse spoke over your life? Like somebody didn't think you were going to make it. Like they thought that you'd never make it as a Christian. When you first got saved, they said this will be short-lived and you won't make it. Go ahead and raise your hand if somebody said that to you. Well, that's a curse we're going to break because you're still here. Does that make sense? Right? How many here have had the word spoken over you that you're going to amount to nothing? You're going to be nothing. You're going to do nothing. Raise your hand if that was you. Had those words. We're going to break that curse too because that's not true either. You're still here. You're growing. You're moving. You're not a nothing. You're a somebody. You have the attention of God. How many people here have been affected by a mistake? Yesterday when we were doing Max's wedding, I really began to see very, very much in real terms the prejudice of the world. You know, the world says that if you make mistakes, then you're less of a person. That somehow only perfect people are noble. I once had a, matter of fact, I preached with a friend of mine who's in town pastoring a church. And he was giving his testimony, and I wasn't intending on minimizing his testimony, but he had said that he had gone his whole life and not sinned. That was what he said. He never smoked, he never drank, never took drugs, didn't get angry. He lived, for the most part in his mind, he lived for the Lord as long as he could, and people applauded. He did his message, and I came up. And I came up to the pulpit after that. And I said, I didn't know that about him, first of all. I thought that was amazing that he waited so late in life to sin in that moment. And then I said, I was really taken by the fact that you said that you didn't smoke or drink or take drugs or get involved in any kind of illicit activity. And on behalf of those who did, I want to thank you because it meant that there was more for us. So God bless you in that. Yeah, so people make mistakes, and that's the way it is. Why is it that as Christians we tend to look at those people as though they're better than everybody else? That's not the truth. Listen, friend, why could I say something like that? He knows my heart. He knows I love him. But second of all, you know, he could use to loosen up, and I'm just the vehicle. That's my gifting right there. I can unscrew a corset like nobody's business. I can mess things up. But at the same time, I also recognize that this is their perception, that if you're alive, you're making mistakes. If you're not making any mistakes, then you ain't alive. And if you're not admitting to those mistakes, then you're a liar, and that's okay. I can forgive you for that too. But nobody's perfect. And when we live, we are having experiences and we're making bad decisions all the time. But are we going to be defined by our mistakes? Like I said last week, are we going to continue to be defined by the limitations of our yesterday? Or will we begin to embrace the possibilities of our tomorrow? That is a huge transition. And I think that in this particular concept, we have to begin to start seeing that people that make mistakes are normal, they are everybody, and that it's through those mistakes that they gain wisdom. They learn humility, and they become graceful about what they're doing in life. That is the truth about people's lives. If people that tend to think of themselves as too perfect, they smell a little funny to people, you know? People pick up on that because they don't know what to do with themselves because they're transparent about what they're doing in life. And so I'm looking for the person that's at least willing to say, I blew it in some capacity. Because that shows me that they're a person who fulfills our church mission statement that says to reclaim the lost, bruised, broken, and bored. We're here to take back what the enemy has stolen. We're looking for treasures out of dark places. We believe that God's work of restoration will hit every area of the human experience. That God is beginning a deliverance that is momentous in the life of people. That He is setting them free from their mental limitations, their emotional limitations. God can do that. And He's done it for you and He can do it for them. And so it's only important when I point this out about what that means is I think that there are people here who are afraid to admit that they've made mistakes. And they serve as curses on our life. And I'd like to point out the fact that when I was talking about, we'll name these things, how many people here have felt, and I say this quite a bit, I don't think I get an honest response, which is why I keep saying it, how many feel that your mistakes and decisions of life have cut you off from all that God wants for you? Raise your hand if you feel like those mistakes, you feel like, man, how did I get there? Well, this is what I felt was so powerful about Max's wedding yesterday, is the Lord really spoke to me and said that just that grace response will be enough to find God's full plan for your life. Do you not believe, or can you believe, even better, can you begin to believe just for a moment that God can fulfill everything He wanted for your life right now? He can fulfill everything He intended for you. There isn't one thing that you have done that has made God's call something less than what it used to be. Do you hear my heart in that? Huh? No failure is too big to separate you from the love of God. God, it isn't over until God says it's over. There is no fat lady singing over your life. Your life is not derailed. You are not paralyzed. You are not an emotional wreck. You are not any of those things. You are what God says that you are. And as surely as Courtney's message is ringing in my ears right now, it was true of Gideon that he became this man of power. The moment that God spoke it, God is speaking to some of you right now today, and He is beginning to change your character, change your heart. He is empowering you, and He's giving you strength. This is not just possibility thinking. This is gospel truth, friends. The gospel of Jesus makes no sense, and it's no good to people who can't believe that God can do something with them if they'll just surrender their life to Jesus. Does that make sense? I used to be a drug addict, man. I used to be an alcoholic. I smoked. Man, I could just do, if it was out there, I was doing it. I don't even have those inclinations anymore because I believe that God's Spirit has given me grace. He has set me free from that desire. How many had a problem with that kind of desire? Am I the only one who ever had an issue with that temptation? You know, to be honest with you, I'm going to say this, I'm going to be limited. I didn't think I'd make it either. I didn't think that I could go that long without going back. Does that make sense? In my mind, I was kind of like, well, I'll try, you know. It wasn't like I was wholeheartedly giving myself to God. But every time I surrendered something to the Lord, He took it in a way that had never happened to me before. It was just gone. And my life has begun to change because of that grace in my life. Can somebody identify with that? Do you know what I'm saying? So things that you used to would do, you ain't going to do no more because God's grace is in your life and He's working power in you. You know, God can take rageaholics and turn them into peaceful men. God can take people who are even that have just emotional problems. They can't relate to people and He can heal them. I want to say this about, I pick on Max because he's not here. Yeah, he always tries to come off like he's this big bad guy all the time. You know what I'm saying? He's always dressing up in the leather and the big spikes and he's getting married and he's in there and he comes in wearing a leather jacket and big old black down. And I said, man, you're looking like a guy who, you know, wants to put off like you don't want to be here. You know what it is? It's all these people out here that he doesn't really know how to relate to. And Max is a freaking teddy bear. That's what he is. He is a baby. I mean, he is just a tender-hearted little guy inside. I love him for that. Does that make sense? You know? Isn't that what's going on in some of us as well? Isn't it that idea that we can never change? Yeah, he used to be like that until the Holy Spirit touched his heart. And he talked to me about stories where he would just cry and cry, and he couldn't stop crying. And I didn't judge him for it because I had the same experience. I don't think, when I was a kid, I was 12 years old, and when I started getting into real trouble, but my mom would take, I had one of those stepdads who was from Oklahoma, his name was George, and he once came into the room and he told my wife, told my mom that what I just needed is to have it broken out of me. And so his strategy was, and I'm in my bedroom listening to this, that he would just come in and just keep whipping me till I broke, you know, because it's like, that's what he needs. He said, your boy needs a good cry, and I'm just going to keep on whooping on him till... Does that shock anybody? I hope it doesn't, because I'm okay. But anyways, he walked in, and he just started, you know, la, 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 you know, tried to start his hips with his belt, you know, and just started. And he actually, at some point in time, I did not cry. I don't know whether it was a miracle at that point in time, but I was just determined in my heart to not let that man break anything in me, you know? And so he got so frustrated, he throws his belt down, he looks at me, he goes, there's something wrong with you, boy. And he goes out of the living room, turned on TV. Hey, you know, now after he left and I closed the door, it was an entirely different story, but I wouldn't let him see me do that. I don't think I cried for, I can't tell you how long. I think it'd be years. I mean, at least 9 years before I even shed a tear about anything. And I'm talking about some big things that happened in my life. I just couldn't bring myself to cry. Now, I accept Jesus, and I think, as a matter of fact, I didn't even accept Jesus the night that I went to I went to Catholic Church over here, St. Rosa Lima, and then I went to this meeting with Ray Brooks over at Church of Living Christ. And that first night, I didn't really know what had happened. So I thought, well, I'll go back to the next night. I must have cried I'm still crying, as a matter of fact. It's been 20 years. Why does that happen? Can we feel again when the Lord begins to work His healing in our life? What is God trying to say to each one of us? And so I kind of point to that passage just to kind of show you that the Holy Spirit is at work in your lives, and don't discount that. Your weakness has turned into strength. And you have become strong in battle to put whole armies to flight. I would put this out there to you. Is there anything? My mother-in-law is here today. I know she's one of these. Are you ready to fight just about anybody that kind of contends with you in the faith? Are you afraid of them? Are you intimidated by their greatness? Huh? Yeah, she is a type A contender, this one over here. She has become strong in battle. And she doesn't need people to validate that in her. You know, this week I was, this guy, I like this guy, he's a nice guy, but man, he takes me to lunch just to ask me how I can be mentored, how he can be mentored by Pastor Jack, as though I have the connection, you know. And he's a little, he really wants to get on the inside track, you know, like how does one do that? And I eat, you know, free lunch, so I just listen to what he had to say. So I was like, well, in my assessment, people don't get mentored by Pastor Jack. They serve Pastor Jack. And he's like, well, I want to be one of his spiritual sons. And I said, well, I'm kind of like the redheaded stepchild, me. That's what I am. I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't know how to do that. So he wanted to get like his handwritten notes. And I'm okay with that connection. But I said, why do you want to do that anyways? And he goes, why is that? I go, well, it just seems to me that if you really were that and you really understood what he was saying, you'd learn how to walk on your own two feet. You'd learn how to stand in your own shoes. And you'd learn how to take the gospel message that's been presented in your life and you go forward and do something with it. And that's what it seems like to me if you got it. Does that make sense? You know? So anyways, I was just sharing with you my heart on this. I'd like to show you something with Newman. Next week, I'm going to be doing a message on the book of Proverbs. I'm going to be expounding on the trusting in your Lord, or in the Lord with all of your heart, and leaning not in your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledging God, and He will direct your path. I'm going to put a strong emphasis on what does it mean to acknowledge God in all your ways. And I'm going to contrast the walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit in a way that I don't think you've heard before. I'm going to point out the fact that I think that there's, it happened when I was in North Carolina looking at the Dead Sea Scrolls. We were looking at a passage of Exodus. The section I was looking at was Exodus. And I was looking at the way one of the commandments was translated, the third commandment that says that thou shalt not take the name of your Lord your God in vain. And interestingly enough, in certain ancient writings, it's translated very differently. And in this particular one, it says something very different. It says that you shall not misuse the names of your Lord. And part of that understanding, the way the phrasing was there, and those of you who have kind of done a little study would understand what I'm talking about, it really gave me a new insight into this acknowledging the Lord in all your ways. I learned that one facet of that not taking the name of the Lord your God in vain, it's always seen as don't cuss. I mean, how many good Catholics out here were raised? Don't say bad, don't you're right, cuss. Well, what if it means also, which I believe it does, and many, there are out there many who agree with me, what if it also means that I will not live my life in such a way that it'll betray the character of God in my life? And so that's what I'm going to be dealing with in all your ways, acknowledging Him, and He'll direct your path. We're going to learn how to live life in a way that reflects God's true character and nature. What does that promise look like to you? And who do you think you are before God? What do you really believe about God? What's He like? Do you think He's withholding things from you, or He's just got the better set aside for you? I mean, there may be a process in getting there, but I believe that the Lord is good. And I believe that He is working in our lives, and that we are very different than we perceive ourselves to be. And I just want to pray for each one of you today that the Lord would just grace you with His presence. Father, I pray that You would seal the deal in their hearts, Lord, with Your presence. Teach them, Lord, that who they are in Christ. Give them an identity of strength. Lord, I pray that they would begin to understand what they have because they're seated with You in heavenly places. And that, Lord, You would just restore their life. And that, Lord, You would give to them the fullness of life that You intended. And that You would recognize as an individual that nothing has separated you from God's love. Nothing can stop His plan as you are willing and available before Him. And I trust and pray that these good things come. In Jesus' name, amen. See you guys next week.